Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Valentine's Day, so you know I'm going to try to get a message formulated around that theme. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And I'm going to give it to you, the way God opened it up to me. Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse, just one verse, as far as where we'll draw our 2 points from. Proverbs chapter 5. This was one of those messages I looked at when I was preparing, and I said, I don't know how it's going to go. It could be very short. I mean, very short. Or it could be a little lengthy. It just depends. But I was thinking more so along the lines of short than lengthy. But we do know one thing. Whenever the Holy Spirit says, that's it, that's it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 18. Says, let thy fountain be blessed, I'll explain that in a little bit, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I want to speak this morning on this subject. Let's do it God's way. But let's just do it God's way. Amen? Let's get some help. Father, thank you today for how you've blessed our service, how you've anointed the United Praisers, Father, how you anointed Sister Danielle and Sister Yvonne, and Father, we just thank you for how you have just blessed already. You're a good God all the time. And Father, we pray that even now as we look into your word, that once again you speak to our hearts. Father, help us to leave this building today saying we're going to do it your way. Have your will in your way. Save any that's lost without Christ and help all of us. Father, speak to those who are single and those who are married. And we'll be careful once again to give you the praise because you're worthy. In Jesus' mighty name I ask it, and upon its authority I do claim it. Amen. As I told you, this is Valentine's Day, and so I want to formulate a message dealing with that theme. And so I want both single people and married people to give me a good hearing today. You know, listen to me. I'm going to have some things in here, and there'll be a few humorous things there even at the end. You know how that goes. You know, you have to try to mix in a little something with, you know, your castor oil. You know, cut it a little bit. But I want to start off by saying I don't claim, and I'm serious about this, I don't claim to be an expert on marriage. Matter of fact, I don't know anyone who's an expert on marriage. I don't know anyone. But I do know one thing. After 31 years of being married and after 56 years of being on this earth, I've learned a few things. And one thing I've learned is that if anybody wants to be happy in their marriage relationship, they can be happy. It's really a choice. That's what it is. It's a choice. We just have to make up in our minds that that's what we want to do. Anybody's marriage can work. But all of it's right up here. You know, there are too many people who are like the fella who went to the psychiatrist with his home problems. And he said, Doc, he said, my wife and I, you know, we're drifting apart. Can you do anything to speed it up? He was supposed to go there and get some help, amen, but he said, man, speed this thing up. We're drifting apart. He had given up. Listen, I want to tell you today, listen, our marriages today, I'm telling you, they can be renewed, they can be revitalized, and they can be reclaimed for the honor and glory of the Lord, and I mean that from the very depths of my soul. But if it's going to happen, we have to do it God's way. So as I told you, I'm speaking on let's do it God's way. Okay, how? How are we going to do it God's way? Two things. Two. Number one, and I'll repeat this a couple of times. Number one, realize God wants us to be loyal to and physically attracted to our mates. I'm going to say that again. Realize God wants us to be loyal to and physically attracted to our mates. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18a. It states, let thy fountain be blessed. Now, in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 states, let thy fountain be blessed. The fountain literally is that which refreshes you. So he's saying, let that which is refreshes you, that which refreshes you be blessed. In other words, be praised and be thanked. What he's talking about here within the context is he's talking about the marital relationship and he's talking about marital fidelity. In other words, God is saying that he wants us to be loyal to and physically attracted to our mates. Look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 15. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. A cistern was that which was used to hold water. Of course, you know, a well is that which also contains water. He says, now you get refreshing. You drink water out of your own cistern. Notice verse number 20. It says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange or an immoral woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And so here, God wants us to be loyal to our mates and physically attracted to our mates. In other words, he doesn't want us running around on our mates. And all God's people said, matter of fact, he wants us to be physically attracted to our mates. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 19, the latter part says, and be thou ravished always with her love. The word ravished for in the Hebrew literally means intoxicated. You know what God is saying? God is saying you need to be drunk with her love. That means that when you look at your wife, well, you ought to look at your wife in an intoxicating way. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Amen. You ought to look at her that way. You know what? She'll like it. She'll even start walking different. She won't even know how to stand when you start, you know, looking at her that way. The Bible says to be intoxicated. See, God wants us to be faithful to our wives, to be loyal to our wives, and he wants us to be physically attracted to our wives. That's why husbands and wives, hey, let's work on ourselves to make ourselves attractive to our mates. Amen? Husbands and wives, let's be loyal to our mates. Let's do it God's way. Someone asked the question. Someone said, what's the difference between a boyfriend and a husband? And someone said about 45 pounds. You'll get that after a while. See, we ought to be attracted to our mates, and we ought to try to work on ourselves, amen, to keep ourselves attractive to our mates. Hey, let's do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. I said number one, and don't put your shoes on yet, but I only have 2 points. I tell you, I didn't know how it was going to go, but we'll see how it goes. Number one, realize God wants us to be loyal to and physically attracted to our mates. Number two, realize that God wants us to enjoy our mates. Notice Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18b. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18b. It says, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Listen, when we read this, we must come away knowing that God wants us to enjoy our mates. To rejoice means to have joy again. Now listen, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, all of scripture is inspired. One scripture is no more inspired than the other. All scripture. You say, preacher, why are you quoting those verses? Because the same one who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is the same one who said, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. The same one who said, thou shalt not kill, also said, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. The same one who said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, also said, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. All of Scripture is inspired by God, and no Scripture is more inspired than the others, than the other. So then that means that if we're going to walk with God and obey the Scriptures, then he's saying that we are to rejoice with the wife of our youth. In other words, God wants us to enjoy our mates. God wants husbands to enjoy their wives. God wants wives to enjoy their husbands. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because God would never tell us to do something we couldn't do. So now, if we're going to enjoy our mates, then we must take divorce out of our vocabulary. My Bible says, rejoice with the wife of thy. Say it again. The wife of thy. Now, why am I having you to say that? All right, look with me in Malachi chapter number 2. Malachi chapter 2. Notice Malachi chapter 2. And notice verse 14 down through verse number 16. Malachi chapter 2. All right, notice verse number 14. Well, I'm going to read verse number 13 also, because you really need to grasp 13 in order to get it. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with crying. In other words, they were there and they literally were weeping and crying and so forth at the altar, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore. Now that's a serious statement. Or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. So God was upset at them if they were doing all of this, and then God was upset. There must be a reason. Look at verse number 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Okay, God, we're here at the altar, covering the altar with tears and all this. We're weeping, we're crying. But you're not regarding our offerings. Why is this? He said, verse number 14. I'll read again. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. See, when you get married, you stand before a preacher or the justice of the peace and you make vows. You take vows. That's a covenant. And God holds a vow seriously. Now, let me hasten to say, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm trying to help everybody. And one thing that we have to do, because pulpits today are too silent on this matter, and you know, we have preached and teach this all 21 years that I have been here, because you want to stick with what the Word of God says and you want to help people. But many pulpits are silent on this matter because of others who have experienced a divorce. I'm not trying to make those who have experienced a divorce feel bad or to hurt. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help those who have not gone through that not to have to go through it. And in order to do that, what sets us free is truth. And truth, we can't preach truth like we would go, to some place where we can just pick and choose whatever we want off of the menu. We have to preach what God gives and also the whole counsel of God. And God was upset because of what was going on. Notice verse number 15. And did not he make one to become one? Genesis chapter 2. Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. By the way, anytime there's divorce, it always hurts the children. It just does. It just does. And a lot of times children are torn apart because they have to be with the father over here and the mother over here. And sometimes they don't even get to see their parents. It always, it hurts. It hurts. I didn't say it condemns the child. I didn't say that, but I said it hurts. It does. Notice. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a goodly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. Now, what is putting away? That's divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. See, if we're going to do it God's way And if we're going to rejoice with our mates, rejoice with your husbands, rejoice with our wives, then we must take a word out of our vocabulary, and that is the word divorce. We need to divorce the word divorce. Take it out of our vocabulary. Just get rid of it. Because if you're going, because see, if you're constantly thinking, you know, I can leave, I can leave, I can leave, I can leave, then you're not going to focus in on what you need to be doing so that you can rejoice with your wife and rejoice with your husband. Hey, we need a generation of people who will say, by God's grace, I don't even know the meaning of divorce as far as I'm concerned. Someone has said, and a lot of people take a dim view of marriage. They do. Someone has said marriage is like a midnight phone call. They said you get a ring and then you wake up. Some of y'all get that about 12, 15. Don't laugh out loud then because people don't know what you're talking about. You get it about 12, 15. It doesn't have to be that way. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be that way. We have to do it God's way. God wants us to enjoy our mates. The Hebrew word for rejoice in this passage also means to brighten up, to make gleeful, to cheer up, to make merry. In other words, God wants us to enjoy our marriages. You know, we ought to learn to live to bring joy to each other. See, here's one of the greatest problems we have in marriages today. Everybody's out for number one. What can I get? How can my life be better? A person who lives on an I land will be isolated. It's not about what I. Here's how you learn the truth in a relationship that caused the relationship to go to the next level is where each person begins to focus on what can I do to make my mate happier. And when that happens, then you'll find out that your life will be a whole lot better. You know what you ought to do? Ask God, how can I make my husband happier? I mean, ask him. And not, how can I make my husband happier after he makes me happier? God, how can I make my husband happier? You know what husband would ask? And pray about it. Father, how can I make my wife happier? Not how can I make my wife happier after she makes me happier. How can I make my wife happier? See, you get the joy out of doing for your mate. And I echo the words when you pray about this thing. I echo the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in John chapter 2, verse number 5, as she spoke to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Let me ask you a question today, and I don't want to see a show of hands. I'd be afraid if a hand didn't go up, then that would be kind of disastrous. So let me just ask you a question. Just sit there with this one. How many of you want to enjoy your marriage? You do. Okay, you just nod your head, okay? Yeah, okay, good. All right, heads nod. All right, how many of you, when you get married, you want to enjoy your marriage? All right, how many of you want to get married? Okay, all right, I see a hand. Okay, a lot of heads. Amen. I see a couple of heads over there bobbling. Amen. Counting down. I hear talking. 3 months and some weeks. I say, hey, it's coming. It's coming. Praise the Lord. So how many of y'all want to get married? All right. Okay, y'all want to get married. Okay, all right. Amen. It's what you do. You start, if you want to get married, you start praying right now. Father, how can I be the best wife that I can be once you send me the right one? And then you start working on that right now. How can I already be programming myself so that I can please my husband? Those who's young men who are not, how can I carry myself and conduct myself in such a way that I can be pleasing to my wife and I can please my wife once we get married. And by the way, you may be 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. You might be at an age right now. It's never too early to start preparing. But now, husbands, those who are already married, what you ought to do, pray, ask God, do what he says. Wives, pray, ask God, and then do what he says. I don't think my wife will mind me saying this. She's out taking care of some stuff here. Anyway, I don't need to get into that, but she's taking care of some stuff. Nothing bad, just something good. And so, I don't think she might be saying this. I was praying. I know Valentine's Day coming up, you know. And so I was praying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I didn't say anything to her. But then Wednesday I told her, I said, she was sitting at the table in the kitchen, probably by Wednesday, maybe around 1 o'clock or so. And I said, tonight after church, I said, we're taking off. And we're going to get out of here. We're going down. And we went down to Charleston. She was sitting in one of them little pub chairs there in the kitchen. She jumped out the pub chair. Boom. She said, really? I said, yeah. Amen. And boy, I said, man, she gave me a hug, man. She was all happy and all excited. And I said, yep. So I said, yeah, you got to go ahead and start packing. And I didn't say anything to y'all Wednesday night, but you heard me say Wednesday night, you know, I'm going to shake hands for a little bit and we're going to get out of here. We got out of here. Amen. We got out of here. We drove down to Charleston, got in about 2 a.m., got up about going on 9 o'clock. And, man, got up and did some things, went to Fort Sumter. Had to ride on one of them little ships to get over there. Pardon me. I'm sitting on the ship. We're on a bench. She's sitting over here. She draped all over me. So I crossed this leg, amen. Yeah, got my woman with me, amen. She draped all over me. Well, I got my arm around her, so forth. Now, we kids on there, you know, so we're not going to go crazy, you know what I'm saying, in front of kids. And if she was here, she would testify to what I'm about to say, that it's the truth. There were a couple of other couples and so forth that were on there. After a while, we looked over at that one, and that one's leaning. Looked over there on that one, and that one started leaning, and they got a little bit carried away over there. So I said, okay, now they went a little bit too far over there, but we went out there, you know what I'm saying? And then the next day on a trolley and looking at some, we like to look at those, you know, historic homes and so forth, just doing stuff like that. Coming back, she was saying, you know, this has just been so much fun. I just enjoyed myself, had a good time, and took out last night and got us some Angel. And if you don't know what that is, that's perfume, but it's expensive. It's expensive. Praise God, we use a 10% ticket and a 5% registration, get another 5% off, amen. Try to get as much discount as we can. She bought me some Halston. So if I smell decent, you know that's her, amen. Sprayed it up. Here's the point I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, God wants us to enjoy our mates. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm not talking about trying to enjoy our mates at the exclusion of God, because you got to keep God in the thing if it's going to work out right. But we ought to rekindle the joy in our marriages during this Valentine's. I won't call it a season, but we can call it a week here. Man, hey, let's just do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. Listen, God would never tell us to do something that we couldn't do. He could do it. And by the way, I told my story. You tell me yours, and I tell it. Matter of fact, our son, Brother Seth, he was talking to me. He said, I'm going to surprise Yvonne when she gets home and say, I'm going to take her out. Said she going to get off from work at 9 o'clock Friday and say, we're going to take her. Say, I'm going to take her away. So she got off from work. He took her away. And I don't know if they came back in last night or this morning. He said, he didn't know. He said, did you come in last night or this morning? This morning, all right, amen. He squeezed every little drop, amen. Every drop he could out of that, amen. Squeeze it. Come in this morning. Amen. From out in Raleigh. Amen, Raleigh. Amen. Drove in. Raleigh's a good place to hang out, too. Both parties, listen to me. Both parties need to make up in their minds but they're going to enjoy each other. But you got to do it God's way. God wants us to enjoy the spiritual, emotional, and physical parts of marriage. But you got to make up in your mind that that is what you are going to do. Let's do it God's way. See, the world has a different view of marriage than what a believer should have. Listen to some of these things. I think they're kind of funny, but some of them are true, but they don't have to be that way. Someone asked, what's the difference between love and marriage? Someone answered, love is one long, sweet dream. And marriage is the alarm clock. That's what somebody said here. Maybe true in some cases, but it doesn't have to be that way. He said, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Somebody said, what's the difference between love and marriage? The answer was, love is blind and marriage is an eye opener. It doesn't have to be that way. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Someone asked, who is the perfect husband? Someone replied, one who keeps his mouth shut and his checkbook open. That's a perfect husband right there. Someone has said when a man opens the car door for his wife, you can be sure of one of two things. Either the wife is new or the car is new. You don't want her bumping and hitting another car, amen, taking some of the paint off. They say it's one of those two. That may be the case, but it doesn't have to be that way. But some people have that view of it. I've told this story here before. When we were in High Point 6 years ago for our 25th, well, it wasn't for our 25th wedding anniversary, but it was coming up. And we had went, I think it was a Libby Hill Seafood or whatever, I think out there on Main Street. And I don't even know if it's still in existence now. It's gone? Okay. But it was out there about 6 years ago. My wife and I were just coming out of there and on one of our date days, and I came around and opened the car door for her and put her in. Lady was sitting over here in the car, and she said, yeah, he's doing that now, but you just wait until you get mad. Oh, that's going to cut out. That's exactly what she said. I told her, I said, well, we're about to be married for 25 years. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Someone has said, in the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. In the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. In the third year, they both speak and the neighbors listen. It may be like that, but it doesn't have to be that way. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Listen, as a marriage gets older, it ought to get better. And let me hasten to say, a person who's been married for a year, 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years can't compare their marriage to somebody who's been married for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. Matter of fact, you should never compare your marriage to anybody's marriage. You work on your own marriage individually because you have two distinct, separate, different people with all kind of various things in your background that you have to work through, and you don't want to compare your marriage to anybody, because if you do that, either you're going to get lifted up in pride, and that's dangerous, or you can get discouraged, and that is equally dangerous. Just praise God for the one he has given to you and rejoice and try to make it the best that you can. And spend some time together and enjoy your mates. Maybe you heard the story. There's an older lady who got caught shoplifting. On her court date, she and her husband came with her, and they had to stand before the judge. And the judge asked her, he said, what did you steal? And she said, I stole a can of peaches. And he said, well, how many peaches were in the can? And she said, there were 6 peaches in the can. He said, all right, you're going to have to spend 1 day in jail for every peach in that can That's six peaches. You're going to have to spend 6 days in jail. He said, does anyone else here in the courtroom have anything they want to say? The husband raised his hand. He said, she's got to spend 1 day in jail for every peach, 6 days she's got to spend in jail? And the judge said, yes. He said, well, judge, she also stole a can. He said, she also stole a large can of peas. Amen. He tried to put her away for a long time. It may be like that, but it doesn't have to be that way. It should be that we rejoice with the wife of our youth. Rejoice with your husband. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. Listen, let's do it God's way. How do you do it God's way? Realize God wants us to be loyal to and physically attracted to our mates. And then number two, realize that God wants us to enjoy our mates. On this Valentine's Day, let's determine to do it God's way. Let's bow for prayer.